should I say? Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. It is so good to be back in person after having to pause for a couple of weeks. But on behalf of the council, we are deeply grateful for everyone's grace and patience and understanding these past couple of weeks. We've got several announcements. One of them most of you have hopefully heard, but on Friday, our dear beloved Etta Lee Conrad died. She experienced a really severe fall on Tuesday evening. Actually, at Bible study, we saw the fire truck drive by, heard the ambulance go by, and we paused to pray for whoever they were going to help. Etta Lee broke ribs both on the front of her body and the back of her body and on her spine, and it was just a really traumatic fall. And as such, it's taking a little bit longer for her body to be released to the funeral home. So we don't have any arrangements made yet, but hopefully that will happen early this week, and as soon as we know anything, we will make sure that we pass along that information to you. In the meantime, please hold her family in your prayers. They are brokenhearted. They certainly did not want her to suffer, but it was still very quick and very sudden, and they are very, very sad. The church barbecue yesterday was a big success. I've heard at several points the cars were backed up all the way to the road, and it was just a flurry of activity. I was delighted when I stopped by to see how many people there were working and working together, and it seemed to be going really well. Neil, you wanted to say something about the barbecue?
At Holly Grove and remember the DT lines, I want to thank everyone who had any participation at all in the barbecue yesterday. Selling tickets, cooking, putting plates together, cleaning up, everything. It all went Lions Club barbecue serve. Yesterday we served a lot of chicken, which will let us serve the community in the years to come. Thank you for your efforts.
We are working on finding some folks who are willing to help with the streaming of our service and with the sound. Chip has been doing this faithfully every Sunday for something like 12, 13 years. We're not even quite sure how long it's been, but he's been faithfully there every Sunday, every special service. And he is wanting to take a break. So Norris Feeney has been working hard to create a really simple template for folks to use. So it will be very simple. If you are interested in doing this maybe once a month, once every couple months, if you'd be willing to serve Holly Grove in this way, please see me or Lynn Dennis. This afternoon from 3 to 5, we have our first confirmation session out under the picnic shelter. We are really excited with how confirmation has come together. We are working with 3 other local churches and pastors. We've created a model that really focuses more on discipleship and one's relationship with God and with the church. That yes, it's about learning, but the purpose of that learning is to grow in relationship with God and with others. This week we have our finance committee meeting on Wednesday, and we are offering the basket offering today. Council voted a couple months ago that we are going to start doing the basket offering on the first and third Sundays of the month, and today's basket offering goes for the scholarship fund. We have one birthday this week, Bobby Clodfelter, and 2 anniversaries, Brandon and Samantha Everhart, and Robin and Karen Beck. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And we have a few prayer shawls over here. One is for Debbie Imbler, Andy Ferguson's sister, who is battling cancer. Maybe have you hold that one, Carol. And then for those of you who are involved with the Red Hat Society, the Queen Mother, her daughter recently died, and so we have prayer shawls for that woman's three children, Brad Kepley, Matt Kepley, and Christy Kepley. Let us pray. God, we thank you for the gift of our prayer shawl ministry, that through these prayer shawls, folks in our community can be reminded of your love for them, of our love for them, and the prayers that we offer to God on their behalf. We pray for Matt and Christy and Brad and Debbie, and ask that you would make your presence known to them as they grieve the loss of their mother and as Debbie goes through her cancer treatment. Give them comfort and give them peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Are there any other announcements for the good of the community? Then let us prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Stand. We gather together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. To the glory of your holy name, amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the church.
Let us pray. Sovereign God, you have created us to live in loving community with one another. Form us for life that is faithful and steadfast, and teach us to trust like little children, that we may reflect the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading today is from Genesis chapter 3. Not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner. So out of the ground the Lord God formed every animal of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all cattle and to the birds of the air and to every animal of the field. But for man there was not found a helper as his partner. So the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This is at last is bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of man this one was taken." Therefore, a man leaves his father and his mother and clings to his wife, and they became one flesh. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm for today is Psalm 8 and shall be read responsively by whole verse. O Lord, our Lord, you whose glory is chanted above the heavens out of the mouths of infants and children.
You have set up a fortress against your enemies to silence the foe in the region.
When I consider your heavens, the works of your fingers,
the moon and the stars you have set in their courses,
what are mere mortals that you should be mindful of them? Yet you have made them little less than divine.
With glory and honor you crown them.
You have made them rule over the works of your hands.
You have put all things under your feet.
All flocks and cattle,
even the wild beasts of the field,
the birds of the air, the fish of the sea.
And whatever passes along the paths of the sea.
O Lord, our Lord, the second reading is from Hebrews. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in those last days, he has spoken to us by a Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being. And he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Now God did not subject the coming world about which we are speaking to angels, but someone has testified somewhere, "What are human beings that you are mindful of them, or mortals that you care for them? You have made them for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned them with glory and honor, subjecting all things under their feet. Now, in subjecting all things to them, God has left nothing outside their control. As it is, we do not yet see everything in subjection to them, but we do see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by grace of God he might taste death for everyone. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Some Pharisees came, and to test him, they asked, Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? He answered them, What did Moses command you? They said, Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her. But Jesus said to them, Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Then in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter. He said to them, Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it. And he took them up in his arms and laid hands on them, and he blessed them. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Good morning. I think Rosalie is growing up, maybe since she's in confirmation. She's going to hang out over there, and that is just fine. She has sat on these steps many a Sunday. Well, just a couple of minutes ago, Ms. Carol read from Psalm 8, and it is generally thought that the Psalms were written around 1000 BC, which means that they were written around 3000 years ago. And 3000 years ago, the people in the time of the Old Testament, they didn't understand science like we understand it today. So for example, they thought that the earth was the center of everything. They didn't know that there was a universe out there outside of the earth. They didn't know or have an understanding of the stars that we do today. They didn't know there were other planets and galaxies. So the teachers and philosophers of that day, they thought there was actually like a three-tiered, the earth was three tiers. The first tier was the ocean and everything in the ocean. And then the next tier was the earth, like the ground and the trees and where we walk around. And then the third tier, they thought, was the heavens, which we call the sky. And then there's sort of an unseen fourth tier where they believed that God's glory was so high that it was higher than the heavens. So when the person who wrote Psalm 8 would have been standing outside on a dark night looking up at the starry sky, he didn't really understand science the way we do today. He didn't understand all those galaxies out there. He didn't understand how unfathomable, how unthinkable, how big the universe and the galaxies out there are. But even though he didn't understand, the words still ring true for us, that God is so big and the world is so big. The universe, the galaxies, the millions of galaxies are so large but God still created all of it. And even though God is that big and that magnificent, God also created us and loves us. And because of Jesus, that really big, unthinkable God made us God's very own children and sealed us with God's very Spirit. Sometimes we call the Holy Spirit the breath of God, and God put God's very breath into us. That's pretty amazing. It can oftentimes be really hard to understand that God is so big and we are so small, but God loves us so much, and God created us in God's image, and God gives us God's Holy Spirit. Yes, Calvin. Those are some really good questions. So is God a person? Is God living? Is God like a ghost? What else did you ask? God, so we believe that there is one God, and in one God there are three persons, or three expressions of God. There's God the Father, God the Son, who is Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. So like you are Calvin, your mom and dad's son, your grandparents' grandson, you're a student at school, you are all of those things, but you are one person. And that's what we believe about God, that God is one God, but three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Jesus did become human. Jesus, who is God, and we believe that God is spirit, which in our human understanding, the closest thing we can kind of think of to spirit is kind of like a ghost. And we, you know, in older language, the Holy Spirit was called the Holy Ghost. So God is spirit, and Jesus is human. But we have the Holy Spirit within us. And the word for the Holy Spirit in the Bible is the same word for air and wind. So it's like the breath of God, that God breathes God's Spirit into us. And so God is all of those things. But we do believe that God is living and that God is always present with us. And we believe that Jesus, although he died, he rose again. And so he is our risen Lord, and he lives forever and can never die. Does that make sense? That's a lot of information, isn't it? But yes, God is immortal. We are mortals. We will die, but God is immortal. God can never die. God existed before the world was created, and God will always exist. There is never one moment of time ever, ever, ever that God will not exist. Do you have any questions, Conrad? No? Well, if you ever have any questions, I love hearing them and answering them. So where does God live? What do you think, Calvin? You raised your hand. Yeah, a lot of people talk about God living in heaven, but actually God is everywhere. That God is not limited to heaven. God is not limited to church. God isn't just here at Holly Grove Lutheran Church so that when we walk out the doors, God is not out there. No, God is everywhere. And God lives in us. So God lives in you and in me and in Calvin and in everybody sitting in the pews. God lives everywhere. That's a great question. Any other questions? Well, let's pray. Good morning, God. Thank you that you live everywhere. And that you live inside of us. Thank you for questions. And thank you for answers. Even when they are hard to understand. God, you are so big that we as humans can never fully understand you. Help us to live with questions and sometimes doubts, but always trusting your love and your care for us and the whole world. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming up and for your questions. You may go back to your seats. I love children, and so those verses from our gospel today, let the children come to me. Jesus loved children as well. He welcomed them, and he continues to welcome them. Let us always, on his behalf, welcome them into our presence and into our lives. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As many of you already know, and you'll probably hear me say many times again, the Psalms are one of my favorite books of the Bible. I spend time in the Psalms every day. For years and years, when I haven't known what to pray or how to pray, the words of the Psalms have helped me. They've given me words, they've helped me express what I'm going through, the emotions that I'm feeling. In fact, I don't know if you know this, but every single emotion that exists for humans is found in the Psalms. So when people often say, "I'm so angry," but they don't feel like they can express that anger to God, there is plenty of anger expressed toward God in the Psalms. Every emotion imaginable is in there. I think we all have certain psalms that we gravitate toward that mean something to us. And for me, Psalm 8 is one of those psalms. In just 9 verses, it beautifully paints a picture for us of God's grandeur displayed in the vast, vast expanse of the universe. It helps us put into words the awe and wonder that we often feel at the sheer enormity of God's creation and the infinite majesty of God. God, whose name is praised throughout all the earth. Think back with me to a time when you were overcome with amazement at the magnificence of a starry night, at the vast, vast expanse of God's handiwork. For me, this often happens when I take my dog, George, out for a walk one last time before bed. I have to make sure that I look up because it can be so easy for us to focus on what's down here and what is in our frame of vision. But when I look up in the stillness and in the quietness of a clear night, I am in awe as I marvel at the endless magnificence of a starry night. When I am confronted with the extravagant greatness and vastness of a night sky, I become very, very aware of the insignificance of my being just one human being. I often say aloud, "What are human beings, God, that you are mindful of us? Mortals, that you would care for us? What are human beings that God remembers us and cares for us? The magnitude of the galaxy that we live in, the Milky Way galaxy, let alone the universe, boggles our minds." So, for example, to scale down the size of the solar system so that the sun would be the size of a tennis ball, and I should have brought one of George's balls here. If the sun were the size of a tennis ball, the earth would be the size of one grain of sand 27 feet away. And how many of you have flown or you've climbed to the top of Pilot Mountain or Grandfather Mountain, and you can barely see a house down on the ground, let alone the one person that lives in it? If the sun were the size of a tennis ball, the next nearest star to the sun would be more than 1,400 miles away. So the sun to the earth would be 27 feet. The next nearest star is 1,400 miles away. The Milky Way, the galaxy that we live in, is 100,000 light years across in size and is just one of the millions of galaxies that exist. And in these millions of galaxies that exist, there are billions of stars. It boggles the mind how big creation is. The size and the magnificence of all of it is beyond our wildest imaginations. It's beyond what we can even begin to wrap our heads around. It is unfathomable. And yet God, who is bigger and far more infinite than all of the heavens and all of those galaxies and stars, created us as well. And through Christ calls us God's children, and God cares for us. So what are human beings that God is mindful of us? Mere mortals that God should care for us. Well, the psalm, in asking a question, also provides us with an answer. It reminds us that we are created a little lower than God. And in doing that, it reminds us of two things. One, we are not God. Humans have the tendency to think that we are on the same level of God, and we are not. We are not God. But also, in being created a little lower than God, we are created in the image of God. Of all of creation, humankind bears the image of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And because we bear the image of God, God has given us a vocation, a calling, a significant responsibility. We don't exist purely to exist. God has a beautiful and significant responsibility God has given us, to have dominion over the works of God's hands. The animals, the birds, the fish, the trees, the soil, over all of creation. Because we believe that all of creation is the scope of God's redemption, right? Not just humans, all of creation. For God so loved the world that God sent Jesus so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have everlasting life. God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world, the entire created order, might be saved through him. So because we bear the image of God, God has given us a significant calling and responsibility to have dominion over all that God has created. But this is where language gets us into a little bit of trouble. The English word to have dominion means to dominate, to control with use of power. In Hebrew, however, the word that we translate to have dominion, it means to serve and to guard. Translation matters significantly To serve means to work for a master, to perform service. To guard means to watch, to protect. These Hebrew words describe for us what God has called us to. They describe what God's intention of for humans and for the whole world is. And it's much, much different than what we think of when we think of having dominion. Because of this confusion of words, humans have been quite harmful to God's creation. Because we have the tendency to forget that everything belongs to God. We think, I own my land, I own the things I have, this is my land. But the truth is, it's all God's. God owns everything that we have. We are simply called by God to steward it, to care for it as God would care for it. But sadly, in sinfulness and in our selfishness, we too often seek to control and to dominate what God has given us for our own personal gain, instead of stewarding it wisely and faithfully, caring for it as God would. Now, you'd think that after the terrible job humans have done in taking care of creation, that God would have fired us from the job. I mean, we've really let sin and brokenness corrupt us. The earth is in so much worse shape because of humankind and what we have done to it. But instead of firing us, God sent Jesus into the world, not only to redeem us and the world, but in Jesus, God reveals for us God's intention for humankind. Jesus is the model of what God desires for humanity to look like and to be. Jesus, without sin, is the pattern for us of how we are to have dominion, of how we are to serve and to guard creation. And this dominion that Jesus models for us, it's not a dominion that's marked by selfish exploitation. It's a dominion marked by nurturing and self-giving love. The dominion that Jesus models for us is one of service and care and protection. Jesus, with his own life, death, and resurrection, shows us by example what it means to serve and to guard all that God has created. So here again, the words of Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You whose glory is chanted above the heavens, out of the mouths of infants and children. You have set up a fortress against your enemies to silence the foe and avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you have set in their courses, what are mere mortals that you should be mindful of them, human beings that you should care for them? You have made them a little less than divine. With glory and honor you crown them. You have made them to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all flocks and cattle, even the wild beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Amen.
Let us say what we believe by the use of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to heaven. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Pray. Children and heir of God's promise, we pray for the church, the world, and all in need. Holy One, you have raised up faithful leaders throughout history. Empower those discerning a call to ministry and all seminarians that they continue to be formed for the sake of the gospel. Lord, in your mercy. You have established a diverse and beautiful creation. Revive declining species and preserve endangered lands. Cultivate in us a sense of wonder for the world you created. Lord, in your mercy. You desire for us not to be alone and to live in community and with one another. Strengthen relationships between nations and people that we celebrate and support one human family. Lord, in your mercy. You share in our experiences and our struggles. Bless all who live with any mental or physical disability. Inspire creative communities, spaces, and environments that are accessible and hospitable. Surround and comfort all who struggle in any way, especially Gary, Dean, Teresa, Jean, Harold, and Myra, Gary and Judy, Bill, Raven, and Tim, Gracie, Debbie, and Donnie, the family of Etta Lee, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, as well as those we name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy. You have established and nurtured relationships that extend beyond those gathered here today. Bless members who are no longer travel to worship with us and remind us of their continued role in this community of faith. Lord, in your mercy. You promise eternal life to all your children. Thank you for the people of faith who have gone before us, especially Etta Lee. Strengthen our trust we have in you, Lord, in your mercy.
Receive these prayers, O God, and those in our hearts known only to you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to share a sign of God's peace with those around you.
Jesus, bread of life, you have set this table with your very self and called us to the feast of plenty. Gather what has been sown among us and strengthen us in this meal. Make us to be what we receive here, your body for the life of the world. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened the way to everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. And merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Thank you.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. Jesus, bread of life, we have received from your table more than we could ever ask. As you have nourished us in this meal, now strengthen us to love the world with your own life. In your name we pray.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Let us share our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.